Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
All right, the Rockets win last night, 131-116. This was just a complete annihilation. The only time the Warriors ever got anything going was when it was backup-on-backup violence at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Rockets brought their starters back in. They were able to steer the ship into the shore and bring home a win, in which at their peak, they were up by 30 points in this game. And that was in the first half. They were up by 30 in the first half of this game. Seth, the two wins in this series, now they've both been at home, so they've still got to win one here in San Francisco, obviously. But this is a very basic reason why I'm bullish on their chances to take this thing to a seventh game. They have proven, it sounds weird to say this because they're trailing 3-2, but the two games that they've won, they have run the Warriors off the floor. I will grant that it was an undermanned Warriors team in Game 2. There was no Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler wasn't great last night either. But in Game 2, Pazemski had some sort of food poisoning. So they were without, you know, they were with either without for most of the game because that's when Butler got hurt, or without for most of the game because of illness, two of their rotational key guys. Still, the Rockets blew them out. You know, like, it wasn't like it was a close game. With the Rockets beat them by 15 points. They were clearly the better team. Last night, they were clearly the better team. In the other three games, it's been more the Rockets shooting themselves in the foot. In Game 1, it was they had 16 turnovers. Throughout the three losses, it's been an inability to knock down free throws. You know, their three-point shooting has not been great at times, but we knew that going in. That's who they are. Jalen Green disappearing for those three games and scoring insane. You know, he only scored 11 last night, but he wasn't doing bad things.
He wasn't hurting them.
Yeah, that's why I am optimistic about their chances tomorrow night. Because to me, even though they're trailing 3-2, and the Warriors have won 60% of the games, and the Rockets have won 40, I feel like if you just watch the overall play in this series, the Rockets have had the much higher ceiling in this series of its.
They've got, if things are clicking the way they're capable of clicking, then it was like last night when on the night the Warriors actually out-rebound the Rockets, but in the first half when it really, really mattered, the Rockets took advantage of their offensive rebounds. There was that stretch where they were 5-for-7 on converting offensive rebounds, and in the same time the Warriors were 8-of-23. And you piled on. I'm trying to be like, just relieve all of my fears and everything else about the second half, because by and large, you know, if at any point in a game versus the Warriors, you think you're going to just keep a 30-point lead for the entire duration, whether their backups are in or not, no, you're not going to, that 30-point lead is going to evaporate at some point. So yes, the Warriors were able to make a push there and eventually get within 13, but by and large, the Rockets did what they needed to do. It was that version of the Rockets in the first half where they were aggressive as hell. They were able to push the pace because they were stealing the ball and do all of those things that they need to be doing. Yes, that was exactly the version of the Rockets. It's completely and totally capable of beating the Warriors.
You know how, I mean, you and I sit in the press box at the Texans games together. You and I both been in plenty of press boxes. You know, like when a game is over, they've got one of those interns that walks around and hands the sheet to you with the box score on it and all the stats after the game is over. And you get to look at what the final stats were and formulate some opinions or do some box score forensics. They should have just started walking around the press box last night when the Warriors took all their starters out of the game. That was the final score. I know the Rockets had to bring their starters back in because the bench was screwing up. But in terms of when this game was won with the guys that matter for both teams, it was when all – like so that's the final score to me. And I'm guessing the Rockets were out-rebounding them, out-shooting them, had fewer turnovers. I'm guessing they were beating them in every facet of the box score. You know what I mean?
Ultimately, they were at one point there – in the first half, they were 69% from three or whatever ridiculous
number it was. I got the numbers right here. They were 69% from the field, 60% from three, and 85% from the line.
Yeah, and from the line, your starters were really good. Amongst the starters, they missed a total of, I think, three free throws amongst the starters. Like, that part of it was eight, which I'm willing to accept. Like, hey, that's not going to be like that every night.
No.
But they were shooting 50% from the line as a team in some of these losses.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were much closer to what their average free throw shooting was in the regular season last night, and that's enough to be part of scoring the most points that the Rockets have ever scored against the Warriors in the playoffs. That was nice to see.
Yeah, it was nice to see. They shot 84% from the line last night as a team. They were 32 of 38. For the game, they were 32 of 38. Part of me is like, I just wish they hadn't wasted it on this game, you know? The game where they're up by 30 and they're like, they can't miss. They could have used those in a game where it's like, you know, it's a three-point margin down the stretch, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm a hell of a putter when I don't have a gallery of people watching $1 million on the line.
Yeah.
It's amazing how easy it is for me to make a three-foot putt.
Right.
When I don't have to do it with any pressure on me whatsoever.
Amazing putter with a 15-stroke lead. I'm not overconfident or uber confident in this, but like I think they're going to go in. I think they're going to fight on Friday night, and I think if they hit their free throws at that rate, it might be the difference. You know, like if they're not missing 11 free throws, if they're missing like they did last night, you know, they shot a ton of them last night. 38 free throws is a lot in a game. It might be something as simple as that, and the fact that Amen Thompson seems to have figured some things out as well. And
Steph Curry's thumb.
Yes.
Steph Curry's thumb is a factor. All right, what's going to bail you out in a game like that last night is Steph Curry. We all know. We've seen Steph Curry score 0 points in the first half and then go off into the extreme double digits in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But his thumb is bothering him, and Dylan Brooks is not helping that thumb out at all.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks is like that evil nurse in a movie that comes in like to the coma patient and screws up the
nurse
IV
Ratchet.
Or something.
Yeah, Nurse
That's
Ratchet.
That's what he is.
Yeah, man. Kids, go see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, an Academy Award winner when your parents were a kid.
Read the book. The movie's okay. Go ahead.
Sounds like a lot of work, man. here's Dylan Brooks on the very phenomenon Seth is talking about. Dylan Brooks, they're defending Steph Curry. He's got a thumb brace, so when he's shooting the basketball, they're making a point to try to hit him on the thumb.
No, I've been playing the game. If you're gonna come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
Yeah, and what he's referring to is the broadcast. For the local broadcast for the Warriors, were bringing this up last night. You know,
and the Warriors themselves have a history of Draymond Green just viciously hacking at people's injuries before. So the Warriors are the last team that I want to hear a sob story from.
Draymond will go after uninjured parts of people, and I cite various nut shots to players. I don't think
our scrotums ever in an invulnerable position. They don't wear cups on the basketball court.
But I've never seen an injury report in which Steven Adams' scrotum.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Was on the injury report, and Draymond still goes after that in every game, it seems like. Who was it? It was Tari Eason the other night that Draymond basically did a leg drop on his head, or was that Amen? I can't remember.
Was it Tari?
Yeah, just comes down and Hulk Hogan leg drop right on his face. I didn't check the injury report before the game and see that Tari Eason's face was something that should be gone after. And yeah,
that was one thing people were upset. That was a play where Reggie Miller seemed to be describing something completely different than what he was seeing on the replay screen. Right? Yeah, that was for if the people who were watching the national broadcast were not happy with Reggie Miller in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. So tomorrow, did they happen to talk about on the national? I watched the local broadcast. Vanessa had a little, not feature, but one of the little mini vignettes when they come back from break and they go, hey, let's go down to Vanessa Richardson. And apparently the Thompson parents, they've got two sons in the playoff right now. They've got Amen in the playoffs and his twin brother who was drafted by the Pistons with the very next pick a couple of years ago, Osar, is in the playoffs as well. So Detroit's playing, and apparently the Thompson parents have been just traversing the country. They're going to all the games. They've gone from April 20th through today. They're going to Detroit today because Detroit plays the Knicks tonight in Detroit. It's like 1,400, a minimum of 1,400 miles a day.
That's a good problem to have. Traveling a lot. It's not like they're traveling a lot because their boss just doesn't respect their family work, their life work balance. That's a bonanza of fun travel.
I think it's awesome
going around watching your sons play basketball.
I think it's awesome, and to watch them, and the fact that the teams are kind of similar. They were really down in the dumps. There's a reason they were picking first and second a few years ago when they took Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green back to back, and that they, the Rockets were probably a little ahead of the Pistons last year in getting back to 500. But the Pistons have been one of the better stories in the league this year. That's really cool, man. That they're able to. If Amen keeps playing the way that he's playing, they won't have to worry about frequent flyer miles or anything like that, man. There'll be PJ everywhere.
I'm sure they're not flying on Spirit right now. So there's that part of it too.
You never know.
The biggest
thing
when you have a hellacious travel schedule like that is it's amazing how much more resilient you are as long as you abstain from alcohol.
Impossible.
Once you introduce alcohol into the mix, man, it becomes a slog.
Dude,
that is a slog.
I know. It's so fun getting drunk on planes and in airports, though. I love
it. Yeah, but the getting drunk on a plane, it's eight times more damaging than any other type of drinking you can do.
Other than if you're
drinking at work or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. The altitude and everything else and the dehydration combines to just mess everything. And your sleep schedule is going to be screwed up
because
you're crossing time zones. Yeah.
I don't know, man. That all just gets you drunk faster the next time you start drinking. I don't know.
Who feels more like they got drunk on an airplane right now? Let's say, hypothetically, if the Rockets lost this series.
Okay.
Lakers fans or Rockets fans? Who feels better?
Oh, Rocket fans. Rocket fans for sure.
I just wanted to confirm it and revel in it.
Yeah, a little bit. No, Rocket fans for sure. Okay, the topic they're doing now, I didn't think about this one, the Lakers. I said earlier that they're going to be talking about this, or this with the Lakers on TV. Did J.J. Redick let the Lakers down? That's a good one. But to answer your question, definitely Rockets, because I feel like there is – a big faction of Rocket fans that feel like whatever happened in this playoffs, the regular season unto itself was enough improvement where we at least feel good about the direction,
Yeah.
Maybe the expectations change when you become the two seed. You're like, all right, we at least need to win one of these series. They are getting fed a team that's not a normal seven seed in pedigree. And with the fact that you bring this up quite a bit, that since they got Jimmy Butler, this is not the same Warriors. The Warriors team that got them this seven seed is the team that they had before Jimmy Butler. The team that after they got Jimmy Butler was the one that fished them out of being in the play-in.
They're like a
55-win team with Jimmy Butler on their team.
They've been one of the best defenses in the league, and that's where the matchup is versus all the other good teams in the playoffs. Going up, when you don't have good shooters on your team and you're going up against a top-three defense with Jimmy Butler, it's a tougher matchup than your typical seven seed.
So,
and as far as Redick, as much as I hate to do this, I'll stand up for Redick because the criticism is that he left the starters in too long in the previous game and that those guys should – look, you're telling me with your backs against the wall that Redick playing the starters too long in the previous blowout loss was the reason that you couldn't just somehow try to salvage this? this series. Yeah. No, you got bigger fish to fry, Lakers right. fans. Yep. You're not a good basketball team anymore. You really haven't been for 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not the Lakers. This is not the Showtime Lakers. This is not the Kobe Lakers.
Yep.
This is the aging LeBron Lakers and Fat Doncic Lakers.
Absolutely. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. That's that's a good question for the listeners, I guess. Like, if the Rockets end up losing this series, they lose on Friday night, we come in here on Monday, and how are you feeling about it if they lose? I mean, we're obviously hoping they win, but if they lose this series, is this season still considered a success to you, or are the things that led to them losing the series something that you feel are problems that are going to be awfully difficult to overcome with this group? Because if it's going to be awfully difficult to overcome with this group, then you got to change the group in some way. You know, you got.
I wonder. I think the biggest, the funniest thing would be is almost if you look at it like the Texans' offensive line.
Yep.
It's that, all right, so far, by and large, the Texans have not been particularly aggressive in improving the offensive line. They've tried to take a more methodical approach. So if the Rockets feel like, yep, we definitely need to get some shooters out here, we need to tweak some things, but by and large, they make a bunch of marginal moves.
Yeah.
I think that's where some of the dread will start to seep in a little bit. Like,
yes.
Wait a second. You guys have been teasing me with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
And instead I get, wait a second. I'm getting a bunch of sharpshooters who aren't great overall basketball players or what have you.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. For sure. Text message. Golden State's 25 offensive rebounds was a concern. I will say this.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about the Rockets' 8 offensive rebounds than I am concerned about 18 of the 25 Golden State offensive rebounds were from the bench, which were
right.
guys in there when the game was out of hand. Like I'm more worried that the Rockets, and this is something that goes back to the last couple of games. They just haven't been. The Rockets average more offensive rebounds than anybody in the league during the regular season. Nearly 15 offensive rebounds a game. They had 8 last night. Now there weren't that many misses to offensive rebound. They were making a lot of their shots. That factors in too. But they have not been, as this series has gone on, they have not been as good on the offensive glass as they were early in the series and during the season.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, if you look at the offensive rebounds for the starters for the Warriors, they had 7 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Rocket starters had 5 offensive
yeah.
rebounds.
Yeah,
it's not, they're not putting in their typical performance. Steven Adams had 3.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the minutes are skewed, but that part. And again, you're going against a team that the Warriors are a much scrappier team in a lot of ways than you want to acknowledge or give them credit for.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we head on here in the 9 o'clock hour. Keep texting 713-572-4610. I think what's happening on Sunday could be huge for the Houston Astros, especially in a mucked up American League. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.